That mighty city, Babylon, Babylon the Great, is going to be broken into dust. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Eli James, along with Pastor Greg Howard, Voice of Christian Israel. This is March 24th, 2017, and we're going to do part five of the Apocalypse of Baruch tonight. And right now, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Greg, because this is his baby. And last week, we just talked about the actual vision, the vision of the bright and dark waters. And I'll turn it over to you.
I'd just like to say hello to everyone listening to our show tonight and whoever's going to download this show. And just greetings to all of my fellow white brothers and sisters in Yahweh. And what a privilege to be going through such a fascinating book, a book purposely kept out of the Bible, and a book hidden knowledge for those of us alive at the end of the age that actually see what's going on. And Eli, the more we study this book and the other books that we've gone through, the more confirmation of two seed line Christian identity we see. I mean, this book absolutely proves beyond a doubt that two seed line Christian identity theology is the only way to approach the scriptures with that understanding.
Yes.
And the concept of two seed lines battling it out across the centuries brings us back to Genesis 3:15 and probably the most important verse in all of the 66-book Bible, that the Judeo-Christian world has no idea what that verse is really saying. That verse is prophesying a thousands of year war between a satanic seed line and a holy seed line, and that there would be hatred between the two of them. And this vision that we are going through is complete confirmation of that. And earlier I told you, brother, I had a question for you.
Oh, okay.
And here's the question. I would like you, and I consider you to be one of the top Christian identity scholars on the entire planet. Okay. And I don't know who I'd rank above you.
I'm going to get that's, ready. I'm ready for the
that's
question.
The respect that I hold you in.
Thank you very much.
And here's my question. How would you relate this incredible prophetic vision of the bright and dark waters? How would you correlate this vision, which starts off with the fallen angels in the Garden of Eden and progresses through thousands of years of history and culminates in the end of the age and the return of Yahshua Christ to the earth? How would you correlate this amazing prophecy with Genesis 3:15? And you can expound on that as long as you want, because multiple shows could be done with that answer. But
right.
Genesis 3:15, how does that correlate to this vision that we are going through?
Well, I'd say the only thing missing here in the vision of the bright and dark waters is a pronounced statement of enmity between the two, okay? It's very clear that there is trouble. There is trouble between the bright and dark waters, okay? And as we went through this last time, it shows that what it really shows here is racial strife between, well, the bright waters obviously being the Adamic race.
And obviously, no
and
doubt.
Black
whatsoever.
Waters, you know, you could interpret it as Negroes, but I think you're right. It's more the satanic seed line, because the Negroes are being manipulated by the satanic seed line against us. So dark waters here would certainly be the seed line of Cain. The only thing I see missing here from the vision of the bright and dark water is a clear statement of enmity between the two. But, I mean, if you understand Genesis 3:15, you can certainly read that into the vision of bright and dark waters, which, by the way, is chapter 53 of the Apocalypse of Baruch. Oh, I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, and let me add a little to that. I would say the enmity is implied and in chapter 53, verse 7, where it talks about where the black waters come at the end of the age where they're darker than they've ever been before.
Right.
Yes. And I personally interpret this to, I think he's talking about the exact moment in time that we're living right now. I think that's what it's saying. And it came to pass at the end of the cloud, which we found was meaning the end of the age. It came to pass at the end of the age that, lo, it rained black waters, and they were darker than had been all those waters that were before. And fire was mingled with them. And where those waters descended, that is the black waters, they wrought devastation and destruction. This is the enmity.
Yes.
When the dark races interact with our people, there's such a hatred. They hate us. They absolutely cannot stand us. We have given them everything. They would be nothing without us. And yet, what do they do when they mingle with us? They bring destruction and devastation to us.
Yes.
And the Jews know this, and that's why they have gone out of their way to push integration upon us for so long. And here at the end of the age, the white nations around the world are being flooded with what they're calling refugees. You know, call them whatever you want. They're not refugees. They're a dark satanic force of devastation and destruction. You know, being a refugee, what that term makes me crazy. Ooh, they're refugees. We must help them. Really? Why yeah. should we help them? Every time I see pictures of one of their boats overturning in the ocean and they drown like granite stones.
Right.
That gives me a very happy feeling. I'm not afraid to say it. When they drown, I'm happy. You know, if we can do away with them all, that'd be the way to go.
Yeah.
Because what? Why? When they show up on our shores, what happens? Devastation and destruction.
Right.
To what? To us.
Yeah.
They rape our women. They destroy our economy. They are just, they're a force of evil. And this is what Baruch was laying out for us 2,500 years ago. This book was written.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it was written this morning. It's so accurate, so incredibly accurate, this prophecy.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, I would say, yeah, I don't see how much darker it can get than it is right now with the ignorance and apathy and downright, it's hard to say, self-hating whites that there are around. And it's not just the libtards on the left. It also includes the Judeo-Christians. I don't even know if I want to call them right-wingers. They're not even conservatives. They don't believe in the Constitution. They don't believe in the Bible. It's hard to know what they believe in. They certainly don't believe in the salvation of the white race, okay?
Right.
So given the fact that so many white people are either outright insane or just plain dumb, stupid, and ignorant, They have no awareness that their race is in trouble. Even they just don't grasp it.
We saw from all of our previous studies of Enoch, the writings of Ezra, also Baruch, that there would be a stupor upon the world at the end of this age.
Yes,
and I thought long and hard on that, and it came to me the other day. It's not just a stupor in a general term. In a general way, I would say it's an induced stupor by a particular group of people on the earth that have purposely dumbed us down to the point where we cannot even see what's going on around us.
Yes.
And there can only be one group of people that could be held responsible for that. You know, that would clearly be the Jews. Every time I see a white woman walking down the street with a black man and she's got a couple of mongrel babies in a baby carriage, of course, my blood boils, but yet I realize, is that woman to blame for that? Was Eve to blame for being seduced by a fallen angel? She bore some blame, yes, but the ultimate blame is upon the enemy who has millennia of experience in tricking our people and brainwashing our women and destroying the minds of our young people.
Right.
To where they can't even see the truth anymore when it hits them in the face. Earlier in my life, I was very angry at white women that race mixed, and I still am. Don't mistake that. But now I look at the enemy, the devil behind, who has tricked our women. That's where my real anger lies. You know?
Yes.
I grieve for the woman that race mixes and has a child with someone of another race. My heart grieves for her because I realize the penalty that she'll pay and the loss of a bloodline. And I grieve for that. But the true judgment, I think, will fall on the devil that tricked her. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, you know, this is the fire. And this is the fire mingled with them, where the waters descended and wrought devastation and destruction. And race mixing is absolutely factored into this concept of devastation and destruction. It's not all a physical destruction. A lot of it is a spiritual destruction. And what can destroy a person quicker than race mixing?
Yeah, right, right.
Especially a woman.
It's a slow death. It's a slow death. But once you've bought into it, you're destroyed. You know, it's
absolutely.
It's hard.
That's why my heart breaks when I see a woman with someone of another race, because I realize she is probably doomed.
Yeah, probably.
Beyond maybe repentance. I don't know.
Yeah, I just saw today a commercial. It started out showing a white woman, and I don't know what she was selling. But then it showed her husband, who was a black man, okay? And then the next scene was her holding two little mulatto babies in her arms, right? This is what the Jews are selling. This is what
it's relentless.
Selling. Yeah.
You know, their
utterly
story
relentless.
Hasn't changed. Yeah. Since the fall in the garden.
Exactly.
It's just become more sophisticated, more multifaceted, but the story has never changed. It's the same play out of the playbook. Mm-hmm. Get the white race to mix their blood with someone of another race, and the Jews win every single time. A bloodline that has been pure for thousands of years grinds to a halt, and now a mongrel is produced. That's a massive satanic Jewish victory right there.
Yeah, we need another Phineas.
we need a lot of Phineases.
Right. An army
really
of Phineases, to put an end to this.
And how few of them there are in this age.
Yeah.
How I appreciate the truth that we're going through here. I was thinking on it today. I was working. I had a long drive back from what I was doing, and I was considering our show tonight. And I thought to myself, how many people – white people on the earth are even aware of Baruch's prophecy of the bright and dark waters. You know, how many people have even heard of it? How many people know this book exists, let alone are studying through it, going through it, understanding how racial of a book it is? How many people on the earth? I mean, I don't believe that you and I and those listeners tonight here are the only people on the earth going through this book, but it's clearly a small number.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
And then the people who understand it is even smaller. Right?
Oh, yeah. Who see the racial component.
Yeah.
That this is, you know, I want to add a little bit to what you said about my question earlier. To me, Genesis 3:15 was the prophecy of the two seed lines. But the apocalypse of Baruch and this vision in particular is the bigger, expanded view of Genesis 3:15.
Okay.
Yahweh's prophecy or declaration. Yahweh didn't prophesy. I mean, he just says how it is, you know. His declaration that two seed lines would battle throughout history. That's what this prophecy is. It's the expanded version of Genesis 3:15.
The elaboration, yes.
It's the expository explaining of what went on through many centuries of the actual warfare. And again, it completely confirms Christian identity, that a holy seed line would battle a satanic seed line. The other races are minor players, usually controlled by the satanic seed line. I mean, they have the minds of animals. They're fairly easy to control. Mm-hmm. And the Jews are masters of controlling these dark races.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
All it takes is a little money, right?
Right, money.
George Soros buying Black Lives Matter. Rent them
Whitey is evil, you go attack him. Yeah. Here's your food stamps. You know, all of a sudden you got 10,000 Negroes burning the city down. I mean, it's not hard to manipulate.
Free cocaine. Free cocaine. You know? How easy is it?
Look how they're manipulating the dark races to flood the white nations of the world now.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Jews are completely behind this.
Yeah, right.
That's a given. Who else would be behind it?
Yeah.
Who else benefits from having millions of dark races flooding pure white nations? Who benefits from that?
Yeah, certainly not the white nations.
Obviously, we do not.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Obviously, the Jews are manipulating that situation completely, controlling the dialogue. Whoever speaks out against it is an evil white supremacist Nazi. And I mean, this is the final stage of this vision. It came to pass at the end of the age that it rained black waters, let's just say black races.
Yes.
And they were darker than had been all those waters that were before. And fire was mingled with them. And where those waters descended, and by the way, they descend upon the white nations, they wrought devastation and destruction. This is where we find ourselves in this vision. That's why this vision is so important, because we can pinpoint where we are in the vision.
Yes.
And guess what happens next? Verse 9. Now the lightning shone exceedingly, so as to illuminate the whole earth. And it healed those regions where the last waters had descended and wrought devastation. Do you have a Bible next to you?
No, but I can open up the.
All right, I got one. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 24, verse 27 here, in relation to this verse. When we went through this the first time, I made this reference. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. This is a direct reference to the return of Yahshua Christ to the earth. There's no question whatsoever.
Yes.
This Yahshua Christ in this particular vision is referred to as the lightning. And the lightning illuminates the entire earth, just as it references in Matthew. And the lightning will heal the regions where all these dark races have wrought devastation. And the lightning will take hold of the whole earth and have dominion over it. Who else could that be?
Right.
But the returning, glorified Yahshua Christ. And this is the next event in the chronology here. So in this incredible racial war that we're in right now, I don't see any hope for us to be victorious on our own. I see no precedent for it. I see no reference to it. We're basically getting our butts kicked by these dark races, and then all of a sudden, the lightning shines exceedingly to illuminate the whole earth, and the healing begins, and the lightning takes hold of the entire earth and has dominion over it.
Yes.
And then verse 11, the 12 rivers ascending from the sea, and they begin to surround the lightning and become subject to it. This could only be the return of the 12 tribes of Jacob. And the repentance of our race.
Waking up to where
we recognize finally who we are. We're the holy people of Yahweh. We're the true Israelites on the earth. And our people begin finally to become subject to Christ. How fortunate we are to see this early enough to where we subject ourselves to Him now.
Yeah.
Most of our people don't see any of this. You know, right now they're all worried about their NCAA brackets and which team full of Negroes is going to win the NCAA championship.
Right.
I can't imagine anything less interesting.
The team that has the white guy that shoots three-pointers.
Yeah, I mean, this is where our people are.
Yeah.
So what a blessing to not be in that group, but to be in the early awakened group that actually is praying and, you know, understanding what's coming up. Our people are in for a crazy wild ride coming up here soon.
Oh, no, it's already crazy. And it's already wild. What's that, the wild mouse at Riverview? Riverview yeah. was a Chicago amusement park that had to close down because blacks were just terrorizing everybody and wrecking the place.
Wherever they show up, there's devastation and destruction.
Yeah.
Brother, they can't help themselves.
They
are just a force of destruction. They can't help it.
Mob rule takes over. You get three or four blacks, it turns into a mob. And that's all there is to it.
I mean, one or two of them is dangerous,
right.
You get a group of them together, I mean, you better get out of there. It's a riot waiting to happen.
Yeah, right. So they tore down Riverview and turned it into a police station. It was a beautiful, I just have fond memories as a child, riding the Comet, the Bobs, the Wild Mouse, the parachutes. That was really high.
The Wild Mouse, huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah, there was a interior roller coaster that was mainly in the dark, you know, so you couldn't tell when the turns are coming or the ups and downs. It was kind of scary, but that was a lot of fun. So, and of course, you know, the more blacks that came, the more violent it got, the more uneasy people felt, and they just had to close it down. You know, this is what happens when non-whites begin to, and you know, you can probably have a few more Asians and not get this kind of result, but blacks are obviously the lowest on the totem pole, and they cannot behave in a civilized manner unless the white man directs their activities. That's the only way they can be civilized.
Yeah, they're incapable of acting civilized on their own without some type of serious oversight with ramifications if they act up.
Right, and this is why the two races cannot live together. Abraham Lincoln said so many times, the two races, the white and black races, are so different that they cannot possibly live together. Would you please go back to Africa? Right?
It's insane that we let any of them live among us.
It is absolutely insane.
It's ridiculous. They murder, they rape, they steal, they plunder. Yeah. I mean, they can't help it.
And the same really goes for the other races,
too. They're hardwired to be that way.
The same goes for the other races, too, that we're not supposed to live in the same territory. They're supposed to go back to their habitat, and we're supposed to stay in our, you know, whatever land Yahweh has given us, that's ours. And the other races are not to live amongst us. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be. And when there is one enemy in the world today, the seed line from the garden, that knows our weaknesses and takes advantage of them and uses our sympathy for the downtrodden, for the poor, okay?
Yeah.
Our sympathy for the downtrodden and the poor and the minorities, and you name the propaganda. This is our people fall for this time. Europe is being destroyed.
Oh, totally.
By white sympathy for non-whites. That's
and how they have targeted white women.
Yes.
White teen women, young women, and literally destroyed their thinking in a generation.
Yes.
You know, I'm 61 years old, and I remember when I was a young man, it was unheard of for a white man to be with a black woman.
Oh, yeah.
And even more so for a white woman to be with a black.
Yeah.
No, you literally just never saw it.
Right.
And how in a generation the Jews have destroyed the thinking of our people to where now they feel guilty to think such thoughts that they can't be with a black man or a black
image
woman.
Of the beast. Who has control?
Our women feel compelled to sleep with blacks to prove they're not a racist.
Right. Yep.
They literally do. They'll sleep with a black guy to prove that they're not a racist.
Yeah.
I just sit back and I just see what the Jews have done to our people. And I realize hell is just literally licking its chops, waiting for that seed line to be cast in there.
Yeah.
May Yahweh let us in our lifetime see it. I think we're that close.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah,
I think
really
we're close.
Yeah, the fuel, the terror fuel is getting ready to be lit. Yes.
The fires are kindled for them.
Well, here, let's see what the prayer of Baruch has, because he wakes up out of, which for him had to be a nightmare. All right. But yeah,
consider what he just saw.
Yeah.
One of the greatest prophetic visions ever.
Yeah.
That covered at least so far 6,000 years approximately. And of course, one thing I love about some of these apocryphal books is that the prayer, certain prayers are recorded for us.
Yes.
So let's see. Why don't we read through this prayer, just read through it with the understanding that this prophet just was given one of the most incredible visions of the history of the world ever. And, of course, his first thing when he would awaken would be to fall on his face and pray.
Right, absolutely.
You know?
Well, after seeing the destruction and chaos, it had a good ending because he saw the lightning and the 12 rivers coming around to the lightning, which obviously is Yahshua Messiah. Nevertheless, the dream, the vision, filled him with fear. Verse 12, and by reason of my fear, I awoke.
Yeah, okay. No doubt this vision terrified him.
Yes.
And that's completely terrified. Understandable. You know, how about we read, how many verses is this? Yeah, let me just read through this amazing prayer, and then we can kind of go back and just, go through it a little bit.
Okay.
But it gives us an insight into the mind of this prophet after being shown this just unbelievable, detailed, incredible vision. This is chapter 54 of Baruch. And I alone, and I besought the Mighty One, and said, Thou alone, O Yahweh, knowest of aforetime the deep things of the world, and the things which befall in their times, Thou bringest about by Thy word, and against the works of the inhabitants of the earth, Thou dost hasten the beginnings of the times, and the end of the seasons, Thou alone knowest. Ah, so beautiful. It's like poetry.
Right, it is.
for whom nothing is too hard, but thou doest everything easily by a nod. To whom the depths are as the heights are accessible, and the beginnings of the ages minister to thy word. Who revealeth to those who fear him what is prepared for them, that he may thereby console them. Thou showest great acts to those who know not. Thou breakest up the enclosure of those who are ignorant, and lightest up what is dark, and reveals what is hidden to the pure. Amen to that. That's what we're doing.
Right.
Who in faith have submitted themselves to thee and thy law. Thou hast shown to thy servant this vision. Reveal to me also its interpretation. For I know that as regards those things wherein I besought thee, I have received a response. And as regards what I besought, thou didst reveal to me, and didst show me with what voice I should praise thee, or from what members I should cause praises and hallelujahs to ascend to thee. For if my members were mouths, and the hairs of my head voices, even so I could not give thee the need of praise or laud thee as is befitting, nor could I recount thy praise, nor tell the glory of thy beauty. Such a humility in this, brother.
Yes, right.
For what I am amongst men, or why am I reckoned amongst those who are more excellent than I, that I should have heard all those marvelous things from the Most High, and good tidings numberless from him who created me. Blessed be my mother amongst those that bear, and praised among women be she that bear me. For I will not be silent in praising the Mighty One, and with the voice of praise I will recount his marvelous deeds. For who doeth like unto thy marvelous deeds, O Yahweh? Or who comprehendeth thy deep thought of life? For with thy counsel thou dost govern all the creatures which thy right hand has created. And thou hast established every fountain of light besides thee, and the treasures of wisdom beneath thy throne hast thou prepared. And justly do they perish who have not loved thy law. and the torment of judgment will await those who have not submitted themselves to thy power. For though Adam first sinned and brought untimely death upon all, yet all of those who were born from him, each one of them has prepared for his own soul torment to come. And again, each one has chosen for himself glories to come. For assuredly, he who believeth will receive reward. But now, as for you, ye wicked that are, turn you to destruction, because you will speedily be visited, in that from time to time you have rejected the understanding of the Most High. For his works have not taught you, nor has the skill of his creation, which is at all times, persuaded you. Adam is therefore not the cause, save only of his own soul. But each one of us has been the Adam of his own soul. But do thou, O Yahweh, expound to me regarding those things which you have revealed to me, and inform me regarding that which I besought thee. For at the consummation of the world, there will be vengeance taken upon those who have done wickedness according to their wickedness, and thou wilt glorify the faithful according to their faithfulness. For those who are amongst thine own thou rulest, and those who sin thou blottest out from amongst thine own. And it came to pass, when I had finished speaking the words of this prayer, that I sat there under a tree, that I might rest in the shade of the branches. And I wondered and was astonished and pondered in my thoughts regarding the multitude of goodness which sinners who are upon the earth have ignored or have rejected, and regarding the great torment which they have despised, though they knew that they should be tormented because of the sin they had committed. And when I was pondering on these things and the like, lo, the angel Ramiel, who presides over true visions, was sent to me. And he said to me, "Why does thy heart trouble thee, Baruch? And why does thy thought disturb thee? For if by the hearsay which thou hast heard of judgment thou art so moved, what wilt thou be when thou shalt see it manifestly with thine eyes? And if with the expectation wherewith thou dost expect the day of the Mighty One thou art so overcome, what wilt thou be when thou shalt come to its advent? And if at the word of the announcement of the torment of those who have done foolishly thou art so wholly distraught, how much more when the event will reveal marvelous things? And if thou hast heard tidings of the good and evil things which are then coming and aren't grieved, what wilt thou be when thou shalt behold what the majesty will reveal and will convict these and cause those to rejoice?"
Yeah, this is like saying that to somebody who's gone to a horror movie and been terrified, you know, had the wits scared out of them, and then they come out and, you know, and then they just go back to living like they used to. But what the angel is saying to Baruch here is, if you're going to be that terrified just from a vision, just wait till you see the real thing, right?
Yeah.
Just wait till you see the real thing. And these people think when they come out of the theater that the real thing ain't ever gonna happen, but it's already happening,
brother. What a prayer this was.
Yeah.
You know, the heart of Baruch is revealed in this prayer. Is there any doubt this is scripture, what we're reading?
Oh, yeah, absolutely no doubt. You know, and he has a tremendous appreciation for the power of Yahweh.
Oh, totally.
It's like David. David has this appreciation too.
Yeah.
In his Psalms, yes.
I just so appreciate that this book was kept out of the Bible, because it was not for the masses.
That's right.
This book was preserved. And, you know, he even references it, I went through it, where he talked about, chapter...
Judaism is for the masses. Baruch is for us.
Yeah, in verse 5, where he talks about that Yahweh will reveal what is hidden to the pure.
Yes.
Who in faith have submitted themselves to thee and thy law. That's exactly what these books are. They are hidden books to be revealed to the pure, not to the masses of false Judeo-Christianity apostasy.
Yeah.
They're not worthy of these books. They wouldn't understand them anyway. These books were kept apart so that at the end of the age, Yahweh's elect people would have knowledge and would have understanding and could use this knowledge to prepare ourselves for the coming age. Brother, yes. That's how I view our entire studies in these books. This, we are being shown things that the masses were never designed to see. And rather than it puffing us up, it should make us very, very humble that we're going through this book. You know, yes. I believe me, I don't think I'm anybody that Yahweh showed me any of this. I don't even know why.
Well, we should just be grateful that we understand it. And
exactly.
Are able to prepare ourselves for what's coming, because everybody else is going to be blindsided when the judgment
completely.
Day comes.
Completely. They're going to have no idea. They're sitting around waiting for a rapture.
Yeah, right.
To be taken up to their heavenly mansion. You know, I mean, in the meantime, the truth of Yahweh is being revealed to his people in these final days through these hidden books.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Yeah. Instead of a rapture, you're going to get a punch in the face. I have to go back to verse 5 in chapter 54. Let me get back up to the beginning of the verse. Thou showest great acts to those who know not. Thou breakest up the enclosure of those who are ignorant, and lightest up what is dark, and revealest what is hidden to the pure, who in faith have submitted themselves to thee and thy law. This is talking about the breaking up of the Jewish matrix of deceit.
Yeah.
But in those of us who have a love for the truth. And if you don't have a love for the truth, you'll never see it. You'll never break out. It's like a chick breaking out of an egg. You know, a lot of these chicks just don't have the energy to break through the egg. They can't. They never get out of the egg. They remain deceived their whole lives, and they wonder why. And we're doing the best we can. Every day I pray for the awakening of Yahweh's people Israel. That's the first thing I pray for whenever I get up. For Yahweh, please awaken more of our people. There aren't enough of our people that are awake.
I know, brother. There really isn't.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of our people, though, that are beginning to stir, that realize all these dark races flooding into the nations really isn't a good thing for us.
Right?
They don't have enough enlightenment to, you know, just speak it out clearly that, man, these dark races, what a curse. I wish I could push a button and get rid of every damn one of them.
Right.
You know, they're not there yet, okay?
Right.
I mean, most of us, if that button was in front of us, we'd fight and claw to be the one to push it.
Yeah, Donald Trump has his finger on the nuclear button, right? That's what the libtards are all afraid of.
I mean, we are, you know, how clear does Baruch make it?
Yeah,
These are the dark waters being poured out.
Yeah.
This is the satanic warfare.
Amen.
Being poured out. And who was the group of people, and I use the people in quotations, what group is manipulating this weaponized immigration against us? It's so obvious once you understand what's going on.
Let me quote Alex Jones. The Bilderbergers, the Illuminati, they, right? The super rich.
Boy, he's a master of disinformation.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
He mixes just enough truth in there to kind of keep your inner conspiracy theorist satisfied.
To make the listener think that he knows everything there is to know, right? And he's not holding anything back.
Has he ever named the Jew once?
No.
I don't know that he's ever named a Jew one time.
Never.
No?
Yeah.
I wonder what he thinks of that little beady-eyed Jewish Barbara Spector, you know, if he's ever heard her little spiel.
He married a beady-eyed Jewess, right? He's got three little Jews.
Europe cannot remain the monolithic whatever, you know. Every time I see that video, I hope I get to kindle the bundle you're in.
Yeah.
You know? I'd fight for that privilege.
Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, but put her in one of those, a harness and dangle her down beneath the fire.
I like it, brother.
Let it roaster slowly.
I like it when you talk dirty like
chestnuts roasting on an open fire, right? A Christmas spirit. I'm just full of the Christmas spirit tonight.
I mean, these people are demons.
Yes, they are.
They have the bloodline of fallen angels. And by the way, the upcoming chapters is the answer to Baruch's prayer, where Yahweh takes numerous chapters of this book and expounds in the history. And we're going to go through it. I want to go through it. I've got all the notes from the before the 12 waters. And and Yahweh breaks it down, each one, what they are. And most of them have already happened. We are clearly at the end of the age, according to this book.
Yes.
We're in that final section where it says the final pouring out of the waters were worse than it's ever been before. Yes. And I find that fascinating because, you know, it seems very bad right now. And according to Baruch, it's never been worse than the final pouring out of the waters.
Well, isn't
it's like it's the final gasp of the satanic seed line to destroy us.
And the Book of Enoch has exactly the same theme. It's all pointing to the judgment day, the last days. And why is it these two books, right, Baruch and Enoch, and also Second Esdras, points to the last days? These are the books that are most ignored by Judeo-Christians. The ones who should really be reading these books totally ignore these books.
They don't even know these books exist.
That's right.
That's how hidden these books are. Enoch, Baruch, you know, the other books of Ezra, the Book of Jubilees, Jasher. These are incredible books filled with truth.
Yes.
You know, the Testament of the 12 Patriarchs that we went through.
Overflowing.
Those books are incredible. They are filled with prophecy, filled with racial truth.
Yes.
And the understanding of race. You know, I marvel now how forbidden the topic of race is.
Yes.
Particularly the white race. And any sign of unity among the white race must immediately be squashed, while the unity of all other races is totally encouraged. Yeah. Doesn't that drive you insane?
Of course.
It makes me crazy.
Because evil has become good and good has become evil.
The Congressional Black Caucus. I mean, why is there not a Congressional Aryan Caucus?
Right.
I mean, you know, imagine a white senator going, you know, or a white congressman going, you know, I'm going to, you know, I've got 20 congressmen. We're the Congressional Aryan Congress. Imagine how they'd crucify those guys.
Yeah.
Yet it's no big deal to have the Congressional Black Caucus. Yeah. I mean, the double standard is everywhere you look. Our people, our race, we are not allowed to show unity or love our own kind. If we even want to marry our own kind, we're crucified as racists and haters.
Right. Yeah.
How dare you, Eli, say your daughter can't marry a black?
Right.
You know what? What are you, a Nazi? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable what the Jews have created, this atmosphere of poison around the concept of racial identity for our people.
Yeah.
I reject it totally.
But even with all this, it contains the seed of the Jew's demise, because the Jew is incapable of running a civilization.
And absolutely, they are.
Yeah,
they're parasites on an already established civilization.
Right.
They themselves contribute nothing other than just a slow demise.
Yeah,
of the host,
and without eating the prosperity of the white race, they cannot operate. So once they've destroyed the right or gotten, you know, it's like the vampire has sucked so much blood out of us that we're on death's row on our deathbed, and the vampire has to decide, do I suck more blood and kill my host and I have no more food? This is a dilemma the Jews are in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and so, and the more of us white people that resist, the less blood they can suck out of us. And that's just the way it's going to be. It puts them in a tremendous dilemma. Have you ever seen a Bela Lugosi vampire movie when he goes crazy when he can't suck any blood? or the light gets turned on, right? And the sunshine.
Brother,
the sun...
I grew up watching Bela Lugosi Dracula movies. Are you kidding me? Right? I'm sure he was Jewish, by the way. He had
right. But here, the lightning, the sun rising is what kills the vampire.
Yeah.
It's right out of the Book of Baruch. The lightning. The return
but anyway,
of Yahshua
this prayer of Baruch really unveils his heart.
Yes.
You know, his heart for his people and his humbleness that, you know, he was like, who am I that you should show me this?
Yeah.
You know, am I anybody that you should show me and unveil to me any of this type of truth?
Right.
And he was he was the contemporary of Jeremiah. His name is mentioned twice in the book of Jeremiah. He was the scribe of Jeremiah. But other than that, there's little or no mention of Baruch throughout the rest of the scripture. And yet we read this book. It's obvious this was a prophet of Yahweh, no doubt about it.
Yeah, amen, amen.
No question.
Yeah, he wasn't a public priest. He wasn't a public functionary or anything like that. Yeah, he was Jeremiah's scribe. And just as Luke was Paul's scribe. But nevertheless, you can see that the scribes, in taking dictation, have tremendous knowledge imparted to them, I should say. Just think if you and I had walked with Jeremiah, right? Let alone with Yahshua, or walked with Moses or Ezekiel. Wow, the things that Ezekiel saw, it'd blow you away. Right? This is an amazing vision of the end times, and even Baruch finds it awe-inspiring and terrifying at the same time.
Well, and the vision given to Baruch here is so encompassing. It starts out in the Garden of Eden and the fall of our race through the seduction of Eve in the garden by the fallen angel, and we're going to get into that. I don't know how much we'll get into it tonight. But next week, I want to start there, if we don't touch it tonight, with the initial pouring out of the dark waters. And the initial pouring out of the dark waters was the fallen angels coming to earth and the race mixing and the seduction of Eve and the birth of Cain. And this was the initial dark waters. Mm-hmm. And I love how Baruch says it, where he goes, I'm looking, let's see. He says something like, I'm looking here in the chapter 53, the initial pouring out. Let's see. He says, for in the first beginning, they were black exceedingly for a time. And afterwards, I saw that the waters became bright. This would no doubt have been the birth of Abel.
Uh-huh.
But they were not many, as our people are never many.
Yes, right.
And after these things, again, I saw black waters. And after these things, again, bright, and he goes on to describe it. And the initial pouring out of the black waters was the fall of our race through the introduction of fallen angels, seduction of Eve, and the race mixing upon the earth. And that was the initial dark waters.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious that the other races were here before the white race. Okay.
Yes.
That's what that's telling us. That's obviously true. And the white race has always been the smallest of the pure races, okay, the Jews have always been the smallest of the hybrids, okay? And two factual statements right there about racial reality, okay?
Yeah. Right. But, I love to discuss race, and I love it when I meet someone that is not put off. If you're in any kind of social gathering and you want to really see what's going on, bring up the concept of race.
I'm a white racist.
or just say something like, I get up every morning and I just thank God I was born a white man. I mean, once in a while when I'm in one of my moods and I'm in a group where I don't really care if anybody likes me or not, I'll just come out and say something kind of just to test the waters, just to see where everybody's at,
Yeah.
And Most of the time, I don't ever get invited back a second time.
You're just ornery.
You know, the few right. people that are my friends that aren't Christian Identity, right. yeah. they think, well, you know, Greg's not a bad guy. He's kind of a racist. He's pretty much a Nazi. That's what they, you know, they don't know right. what to think.
Exactly.
I don't consider, I'm not yeah. a Nazi, you know. I love Nazis, but I'm not, yeah. I don't consider myself one. You know, if I was going to describe myself, I'm a Christian man. I'm a two-seed line Christian believer. And I believe in the Israelite identity of our race, that we are the true Israelites on the earth. That's who I am. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And I see enough to understand
that's
the deception
yes.
that's in the world, that the Jews have hoodwinked our people around the world in this generation. 100 years ago, our people were not fooled that much. But since the founding of the Federal Reserves, where they became trillionaires and had massive power to buy up everything, they have been able to hoodwink our people through the media, through Hollywood, through the education system, through 20 other ways I can't even think of. They have, in a sense, replicated what they did to Eve in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
They've seduced us.
To the entire race.
They've tricked yeah. us. The serpent has beguiled our race in the final age. It's the same old playbook, and that play works. That's why yeah. they keep using it.
That's why they keep doing it. Right.
Trick our yeah. people, get us to race mix, get us to set aside our racial identity, think we're all one big human family. And, you know, and then they ushered in the Judeo-Christian concept where our Savior, Yahshua Christ, died for every two-legged creature on the earth instead of just our race and our people, which is what it really is.
Yes.
And they've been wildly yeah. successful at this yeah. strategy. You know, you yeah, almost have to give them right. some credit, but it's so evil, I give them no credit.
Right. Well, I just had a run-in with one of these Jesus loves everybody Judeo-Christians who
yeah.
Became utterly irate when I
oh,
told
yeah.
her
yeah,
when
yeah,
I
yeah.
told her that Jesus didn't come to save everybody. He only came to save Israel. It's just, how dare you? You're a racist Nazi bigot. What are you? A horrible thing to say. And I
yeah.
said, well, read the scriptures. Read Matthew 15:24. I come not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he called that woman a dog. So
yeah, I mean,
where do you get your idea from?
The whole chapter of Luke, chapter 2, discusses the exclusivity of who he came for.
That's right.
Over, and almost 10, 15, 20 times.
Yeah, it's Israel,
talks
Israel,
about
Israel,
he only
Israel.
Came for yeah. his people,
yes,
Israel.
Right.
No one else. You know, he didn't come to save all these cannibal tribes in Africa.
Right.
You know, I marvel that people give up their lives to go to Africa and be missionaries.
Yeah, right.
I scratch my head and go, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jesus led me to do it. I got to go. I go, well, yeah. hey, good luck with that.
Yeah.
If you're that sure about it, then, well, I guess you got to
yeah,
go.
It's,
but
it's amazing. You know, when they first started out, the white missionaries to Africa, they started out being served for dinner, right? But they persisted until finally, you know, they were able to feed them something else, right? Now, after 300 years, now after 300 years, they're being served for dinner again.
Well, you can clean up a Negro and you can put a tie on it and put a Bible in its hand and dunk it in a river and hope it, you know, it comes out and you can call it a Christian. But there's zero biblical evidence.
Reminded me of the dunking stool at Riverview.
What you've actually done is cast pearls before swine.
That's right.
That's what you've done.
That's right.
And there will be a price to pay for that at the judgment.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
At Riverview, they had blacks in the dunking area. You know, you throw the ball at the target, and if you hit the target, the black guy gets dunked in the water. That's baptism. That's what baptism is for Negroes. Wow. And these churches, they glorify themselves for quote unquote. Winning souls for Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
And they haven't done anything of the kind.
It's a big deal, you know. Yeah, they keep score. It's like an NCAA game. You know, hey, we dunked 80 right. Negroes last year in the river. You know, we saved 80 souls for eternity. And I, even back when I was in Judeo-Christianity, I used to think deep down, and I always thought I had issues, and I used to think, are we really going to have Negroes in heaven? Because I don't like them. Even then, I understood I didn't like them, you know.
Yeah.
And I used to think, when we go to heaven, are there really going to be Negroes up there?
Yeah.
I mean, that was me as a Judeo-Christian guy studying to be a preacher. Even then, I didn't like Negroes. I didn't want them in the church. I was repulsed by even being around them.
Yep.
Now I understand why.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're just totally different from us. And there's no way the two races can live together. And nor were they meant to, nor were any of the races meant to live, you know, intermingle
you know,
with the other races.
Had they been left to their own in Africa and we never brought a single one of them over here, they may well have exterminated themselves by this point.
Right.
Or their population would be so controlled by disease and cannibalism and, you know, other forces that eliminate them. They wouldn't even be, you know, they'd be a curiosity in a National Geographic magazine.
Right.
You know, instead we can't even walk down our streets at night without fear of one of them murdering us or raping our women or children.
Yeah, and you know, in fact, they've taught their voodoo medicine to the Jews, right? And the Jews are using voodoo medicine on us, okay? Vaccination, drugs, oh, man.
Just crazy.
Yeah. So we need
to bring back that
dunking stool. We need to bring that dunking stool back.
So how about next week we get into the interpretation of this amazing vision
that
as Yahweh lays it out. You know, Baruch prayed, Yahweh, show me this vision. You know, you gave me this amazing vision.
Yeah.
What does it mean? And Yahweh sends an archangel to him, Ramiel.
To explain it to him.
He says, and when I was pondering these things and the like, lo, the angel Ramiel, who presides over true visions, was sent to me. So he's going to get the interpretation of this vision directly from an angel, a high-ranking angel, who's in charge of true visions. So as we get into this, by the way, the interpretation of this goes on for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very in-depth vision. So, and I want to go through the whole thing. I want to get into the history of it and the cross-references, and I've got them all. And we will dissect this vision. And this is the vision of Genesis 3:15 expounded across the ages and laid out for us. And we'll see so clearly that we are in the final stage of this vision, where the next event that's going to happen is the lightning will return to the earth and take dominion over it.
Right.
According to this vision, that's where we are. That's the next thing to happen.
Right.
Kind of excited.
Right. Well, but first the wheels are going to come off the roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get wacky.
The roller coaster's going to crash, come crashing to the ground, folks. It's like the whole rest of the world is in denial, and they fear that this may happen, but there aren't enough Judeo-Christians who really believe the Bible enough to actually think, because like you mentioned, they actually think they're going to be raptured.
Yeah.
No, this judgment day, this fiery judgment is coming, folks. There's nothing that can prevent it, and as far as I'm concerned, the sooner the better. Praise Yahweh.
Amen. Praise Yahweh.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Okay, folks. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. This book, Apocalypse of Baruch, is just awesome stuff. And, thank you, Brother Greg, for conceiving this series. And, folks, stay tuned to Eurofolk Radio. Spread the word. Let the world, let the white world know that there is a voice for the white race.
Amen, brother.
A voice for the white race. All right.
Good night, saints.
All right. Good night, saints.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.